one. Hello, everybody. No regular Freedom Friday tonight. My regular co-host, James Curry, is often traveling on the East Coast. I'm actually going to see him tomorrow. But with me tonight is one of my favorite Patriots out there in MAGA world, J.R. Majewski, former congressional candidate in Ohio's 9th District, Trump endorsed, big MAGA guy. J.R., what's going on, brother?
Not much, man. Getting over a little bit of a cold, but other than that, doing pretty good, man. Doing pretty good.
What about this this clown world we're living in? And you, I mean, you lived it. You ran a kick-ass congressional race. They came after you hardcore. We're going to get into a little bit of the developments, what's going on with that. But you know what? Let's actually start with what's going on in J.R. Majewski land right now. Let's start with that before we get into Trump and everything else.
Well, as you know, and maybe the audience might not, I was running against the 40-year incumbent Democrat named Marcy Kaptur, who happened to be the longest standing female member in House history. And back in September of last year, we were pretty close in the polls. The state of Ohio did a redistricting effort, which made the district a Trump plus two, basically. And right. We were up in the polls in September. And I would say I believe we were probably tied because, you know, you have a plus or minus on every poll. But that being said, I wasn't spending any money at that point on media, no TV, no radio. It was just grassroots, right? Getting out and shaking hands and talking about issues. And Marcy, I didn't know it at the time, but the Associated Press, the unfortunately famous for all the wrong reasons, James LaPorta, who was fired for almost causing World War III, he launched a smear campaign or a hit piece on me and accused me essentially of stolen valor. And they did that after what I know now, after obtaining my entire military record through the use of my Social Security number. And they illegally coordinated with the Democratic Congressional Committee and other people to do that. And I'm amongst 13 other members that ran, Republicans, mind you, that ran for either House or Senate. And there's an ongoing congressional investigation on that right now, which I've been, you know, helping as much as I can. And, you know, we're finding that, you know, they've used some tactics that Republicans like us would probably go to jail for to attack their opponents. And in my case, you know, I deployed for Operation Enduring Freedom in 2002, in the beginning of the war. You know, I've been on multiple podcasts, and when asked, you know, I've said, you know, I was in the Air Force. I deployed to Operation Enduring Freedom, served in Afghanistan, you name it, right? Never made any specific, you know, I never gave any details about my deployment other than, you know, it was tough. And for a good while there, you know, we didn't have running water. We were showering in the back of airplanes with baby wipes and bottled water. Animals. Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, par for the course, right? And my campaign was ran on the fact that, you know, I've spent nearly 20 very successful years in the nuclear power industry. And I wanted to bring that level of knowledge to Congress as, you know, being the first member that truly understood energy and energy policy when America needs energy dominance so badly. And, you know, that was known by my opponent. That was known by the Associated Press. And so they launched this smear campaign against me. They threw maybe, I don't know the number, but it was seven figures. They had a Gold Star family do a commercial saying that I lied about my service and I'm dishonoring their child. And this was all like ready to go within days of that article coming out. It was a highly coordinated hit piece. They had had my record since June of that year, but didn't ask me any questions about it until September. And, you know, my records were not updated. And I'm going through that process now. I submitted the paperwork back in November, and I'm just now getting, you know, reciprocation from the Air Force on getting my records updated. I mean, my records didn't even say that I deployed to Qatar, you know, where my orders were cut. But they knew this, right? They knew this. That's why they launched that attack. And so, you know, I'm just working hard to, you know, just clear my name. I mean, a lot of it has to do with, you know, just the way that they went after me and the fact that they smeared me, because, you know, we were going to win. And, yeah. I have no doubt about the fact that we were going to win. And I would have been clearly the upset of the election cycle.
Oh, absolutely. Listen, I followed your campaign closely. You know, we had spoken, you were on my show, we were, I think, on some other shows together and whatnot, you know, supported your campaign. I followed it very closely. And every day you were out there, you were fighting, you were with the people. And then it was like overnight, and you had, you know, Kevin McCarthy came out to the district. You got Trump endorsed, you know, Roger Stone behind you, so many other great patriots. And like, it was just ripped away from you overnight. Like I'm watching this unfold. Like, I can't believe it. It's like, I know this guy's not full of shit. I looked into everything. We know military records are notorious for not being updated. They knew this. And like you said, they concocted this whole thing, Gold Star family. I'd love to know what that family got paid. And it's a shame that that Gold family, who lost a family member, was hoodwinked into doing that. I really hope when they find out the truth that, you know, they feel some sort of remorse of what they did to someone like you. But, you know, you were Kevin McCarthy was putting money behind you, and then boom, in an instant, it was gone. It was gone. Yeah. And then what happened? They threw this shade on you. They did launching hand grenades. And what did you have to do? You had to duck and weave, and then you had to fight the good fight, because nobody wanted at that point, JR, wanted to know what you stood for. They didn't give a shit about your nuclear energy career and what you could, the positive great things you can bring to Congress with that knowledge and education. No, they wanted to know, just ask you questions about this stupid allegation that is completely untrue, to just knock you off your feet. And it's like you said, if Republicans did that same exact thing to Democrats, there would be investigations, identity theft, fraud, using social security numbers. Someone probably would have gotten locked up. And here it is, that 40-year incumbent who does nothing is there. And I'm glad there's investigations. I believe Matt Gaetz was public on it, Anna Paulina Luna. Mm-hmm. And you know, I saw something. I thought one of them, you tweeted that they literally want to go after members of the Air Force, apparently, that allowed this to happen. Yeah. And it's a shame that it's that dirty, because, you know, you should be right up there with the Corey Mills and everybody else, the fighters that we need and desperately need in Congress. It's just wild.
It's just a testament of our political climate and, you know, what these folks in power, you know, will do to stay in office. They'll do anything. And I'll give you an example. You got a guy like me that, you know, I truly represent the district in which I was running for. You know, I grew up here. I grew up in the worst neighborhood in the district. I grew up a lower middle class family. My dad was seriously hurt when I was young and ended up becoming handicapped and wasn't allowed to work. Grew up living off of his Social Security check. And, you know, I'm, you know, for a lack of better description, I'm the guy that worked against the odds and went to the service, finished my master's degree, and then started from the bottom with respect to my professional career at the nuclear power industry and worked my way up to a very significant leadership position. And, you know, here I am today, you know, having sacrificed a very, very lucrative career, put a lot of my money into the campaign. And, you know, just because I chose to stand up and run against a very powerful Democratic apparatus, they spent millions of dollars not only to, you know, defeat me in the election, but their intention was to ruin me.
Yes.
And they never want me to run again. And, you know, it makes it difficult for any American, right, to put that all at risk to run for office. And now, you know, I worked in a highly regulated industry. I worked with spent nuclear fuel. you know, I was subject to many of clearances and background checks. And, you know, I did make an inquiry on going back to the industry just to see, you know, what the flavor was, I guess you could say. And yeah, I can just tell you that, you know, like any other highly professional industry, they can't get past the Google search, right? And yeah, it's just it's a shame because, you know, I did nothing. You know, I did nothing but serve the country and run for office. Everything else was, you know, libel and slander. And it's unfortunate because, you know, when you're in battle like that, you expect, you know, your friends to come out for you. And when I say that, I'm referencing the Republican Party. And just like many other embattled Republicans that we've seen, you know, you had Matt Gaetz getting accused, falsely accused of a lot of things, right? They abandoned him, and you know, they abandoned me. And
yes, they did.
They'll say that they didn't. They'll say that it was ironic, and you know, I don't know what to believe, to be honest with you. But I'll just say this: it doesn't matter. They should have doubled down and came back in for me.
Yes.
And you know, I know DC has a short-term memory. Those guys smack each other when they're not looking all the time. And, you know, they get right back to getting along. And, you know, I'm a man and I'm a professional at heart. I don't hold any grudges towards them at the end of the day. If I decide to run again, which it's very highly likely, I'm just not going to forget what they did. And I'm just going to be smarter for all the bullshit that they put me through.
Absolutely. And listen, from someone on the outside looking in, I'll say it. The Republican Party, the RNC, they shoved it up your ass. They turned their back on you. They abandoned you in the worst cowardice way possible from Kevin McCarthy on down. And it was disgusting to watch and unfold, disgusting to see. And even through all that, you fought the good fight. You cost the Democrats millions of dollars. Yeah. That's the one thing I can say I'm happy about is you cost them. It took them millions of dollars to beat little old J.R. Majewski from Ohio, who painted the big Trump flag on his farmland, who came out of left field. You cost the Democrats millions of dollars. And to that I say, great on you and fuck them. And it is what it is. You know, speaking of political atmosphere, though, we'll segue right into it. Political atmospheres and going after people. I mean, he endorsed you and yeah. I stand behind, I'm Team Trump. I stand behind Donald Trump 100%, especially what's going on now. And I know you're a fan of Donald Trump. What do you think about this ridiculous indictment that's going on? I mean, this is just clown world. What's your take on this?
Well, I think it's one of the stupidest things the Democratic Party has ever pulled. But I really think it's a testament of, you know, just how audacious they are and how fearless they are. You know, you have Republican political minds out there just speaking freely that, you know, indicting Trump is going to be one of the worst things that they could do.
The Daily Beast said it. The Daily Beast said it. Yeah.
But in the other, you know, in another breath, it's just like, you know, they believe firmly that they can beat Trump in a general election. And, you know, I don't think that they understand the implosion that they're creating, because to indict and then arrest him, if they follow through with that, I mean, that's going to, you know, create a shift, I think, in, you know, the hearts and minds of the American people that fell in love with the guy in 2016. Now, I can understand certain folks, you know, just getting tired of hearing, you know, him talk about the election and talk about, you know, certain things, the injustices. I get that. I'm not tired of it. I because I've been on that side, as we just talked about. Yeah. So I know what it's like to carry that to a degree, right? I wasn't as much as it hurts me. I still haven't, you know, I wasn't attacked as much as he was. I just, unfortunately, I'm not a billionaire like him, so I can't just take it on the chin. But that being said, you know, I think, we fell in love. America fell in love with Donald Trump in 2016. And unfortunately, we have this echelon of country club Republicans that we like to call the establishment that just don't want Donald Trump around. And, you know, I thought this through on the campaign trail last cycle, and I kind of compare it to this. Many of us who are MAGA Republicans, America First Republicans, you know, we wandered into the Republican Party because of Trump. And I like to explain us as follows. We like to stand up for the national anthem. You know, we like to celebrate 4th of July with a hell of a lot of fireworks. We love a good grill, a nice cigar, and a good steak. And, you know, depending on our, you know, our favorite sports team, maybe we like watching football, baseball, whatever. The country club Republicans, as I like to call them, you know, they love golfing, a great glass of scotch, a cigar, and talking, you know, global war, right?
Money and power.
Yeah. And they like exclusivity. And so I think the major difference is guys like me that, you know, can grill a hell of a steak and, you know, spend a couple $1,000s every 4th of July. I want those country club Republicans to come to my house because I want to show them one hell of a fireworks show. And I want to treat them to the best steak they've ever had.
Yeah.
They, on the other hand, they'd love for me to go golfing just so they can put me in a, you know, an ugly cardigan and, you know, talk about how terrible my short game is. Right. And I think at some point we have to get together and they have to realize that when they come to my house, I'm not going to blow them up with fireworks. Okay. And when I go play golf with them, I have to realize that I'm going to hit the ball 100 yards farther than them. So it doesn't matter if my short game sucks, right? We just play to play and we get along. And I think Trump was on the verge of bringing that, but you still have, you know, some personalities that are, you know, the residual personalities, right? Like the Bushes and a few others that, you know, kind of mind the fringes, and they still, you know, find themselves intolerant of Trump. And so when you have a guy like Ron DeSantis, who, hey, 3 months ago, we all loved the guy. When you have him being perceived as, you know, working with the Bushes and working with all these other folks, you know, the Bushes are going to prey on that. They're going to try to spread that narrative and create a divide amongst the Republican Party, because they would rather see Donald Trump lose than win. They would rather put a Democrat in power because they have what, you know, we all call the FU money, right? They can do whatever they want. It doesn't really matter who's the president. They have enough capital to survive. It's the American people who suffer. And because of that, you know, I think that we need to remember what Donald Trump did for us. We need to remember what he put up for sacrifice. We need to realize that what he's been saying to us is very easily proven to be true. And he deserves the right to get up and, you know, on the national stage and bitch about everything that's happened to him. He does, because until you've signed your name on the dotted line and you've went and campaigned for political office and you've put yourself out there in the public spotlight, again, he was profiting from that in his private life. But as a president, you know, and going through the things that he did and subjecting himself to certain levels of scrutiny, I think that in itself, it warrants him the right to be the brash Donald Trump that is going to keep America safe and prosperous.
100%. I mean, listen, to me, Donald Trump has always loved America. He has done it all. I mean, living the billionaire lifestyle to say, you know what? I want to go serve my country as president of this great republic and run and give it all up. He didn't have to do that. He could be living out his days with no stress, loving life down at Mar-a-Lago, wherever he ended up, with billions of dollars, not a care in the world. But he didn't. He stepped in front of the deep state. He stepped in front of the unelected bureaucrats who are not accountable of we the people, and said, I'm running for president because I love America and I love Americans, and I want to expose the deep state and expose the swamp. You know, working class people like you and I and every MAGA Republican out there, or America First movement member, whatever you want to call yourselves, you would not be part of that movement if it was not for Donald J. Trump. Period. End of story. Full send. It's a fact. We all know it. JR, you would not have gotten involved in politics if it wasn't for Donald Trump. You know, so many America First candidates. I would not have started my podcast and met so many great patriots like yourself and the boys over at the Steak for Breakfast podcast and so many others if it really wasn't for Donald J. Trump coming down that escalator and realizing that he wants to give the American people a voice. Trump is a symbol of the America First movement. He's a symbol of the anti-swamp. He's a symbol of the anti-bureaucracy. He is the symbol of the anti-deep state. He didn't drain the swamp, but he lowered that level of water in the swamp enough for us to see and give us a glimpse of what went on. Because if he didn't get into the Oval Office in 2016, you and I wouldn't be sitting here together, and we would not have seen how screwed up the DC swamp really is. We would just act as if. And it's, you know, as far as Ron DeSantis, I think Ron DeSantis is great. He's great for Florida. I'm big into loyalty. And another person I would not have forged a relationship with if it wasn't for Donald Trump running for president and winning is Roger Stone, who is probably the most loyal individual, the most loyal man in politics. Because when he says he's going to stand behind somebody, he does through thick and thin. And you know, I look at Ron DeSantis, and again, I'm not trying to shit talk the guy, but to me, I believe, just, I know politics are politics. I believe he owes Donald Trump that loyalty, because he would not be the great governor he is of the great state of Florida if it was not for Donald Trump. The guy only won by 30,000 votes. And that's me. I would really like to see Ron DeSantis come out and say, hey, I'm going to support Donald Trump in every way I can, especially now that this ridiculous Soros-owned Manhattan District Attorney, Fat Alvin Bragg, is now, you know, gunning for him in this 30-something count indictment, which is a complete sham. Anyway, we know it. Again, they're going after him because they're terrified. Democrats cannot win on policy. They never could win on policy. They never have won on policy. They can only win playing lawfare and trying to destroy their political enemies. And if this is not the most profound example of election interference and election tampering in American history, I don't know what is.
No, I agree. I think, you know, to your point, I think you're right. I mean, in the minds of, I think, many of us, we see, you know, the legacy of Ron DeSantis and his rise to being extremely successful in Florida. And we can all look back and attribute that to, you know, President Trump's support. And I think that that transcends through American politics for the past few years. I mean, the most coveted endorsement that you could receive as a Republican is a Trump endorsement. And I can't tell you, I can't describe to you what it feels like to get endorsed by him, to meet him. You know, I'm a guy that was, you know, doing very, very well for myself. I didn't have a care or a need in the world. And I just decided, based on things that I was doing in life and a veterans group that I was supporting, that I was going to paint the Trump logo on my grass. I never thought that President Trump was going to see that and call me and then lead into what it led into. Never in a thousand years did I believe that. And, you know, things happened to me on the campaign trail. I lost my dad, you know, during the primary. Trump calls me, writes a letter. You know, he invites me to come speak at the rallies. You know, things that he didn't have to do. He could have just gave me the endorsement and walked away. But he made sure that, you know, when he was anywhere that I could, you know, make myself available to come out and get a national audience, right? He was going to provide that platform, you know, and make it available to me. Things like that, he does that without question. I mean, you don't have to call and ask. They, you know, he calls you or his team calls you. And it's because they have a perspective where they're looking to, you know, that all high tide raises all boats, right? And I think that's one of the things that we saw in the 2022 election cycle is that Trump voters got out and voted, and we voted down ticket. Moderate Republicans did not vote for Republicans. And I think that is being perpetuated now by this group of so-called moderate Republicans that say, you know, DeSantis is better for because he can win over moderates and independents. Folks, I got news for you. Ron DeSantis is farther right than Donald J. Trump. Donald Trump is a populist, and you know Ron DeSantis is much more conservative than Trump. And you know when we get into let's say one or the other wins the primary, if that's the case, I think that you'll find that DeSantis having a much harder time defeating, you know, an even keeled Democrat, let's say a Kennedy, right? If he decides to run, that'd be harder for Ron DeSantis, in my opinion. And, you know, you also have this class, and we kind of talked about this in the pre-show. You have a class of influencers now that on both sides are really, I think they're creating an environment of resent on both sides of the aisle. And here's what I'll say. I love every Trump influencer that I know. I just want to say before I say what I'm going to say next, I love all of them, right? They're good people. Yeah. Okay? They're good people. But I would ask them to reflect on where they were in 2016 when they were driving that Honda Accord or that Chevy Cavalier, living in some shitty apartment, and they got a phone call from Team Trump because they had a really decent social media following, and they were asked to, you know, start attending meetings and consider supporting this guy and jumping on the platform. And now that they're living in Florida, which is where they all live pretty much, right? And yeah, they're driving a Porsche and they live in a high class condo, and you know, they have everything that they need. Don't get on social media and try to emulate the guy that you love, because you are not him. When you try to emulate Donald Trump, you turn people off. You don't intend to do it. I get it. But that's what you're doing, and that's how it's being perceived. And what you need to do is do exactly what you did that made you so successful in helping him in 16. Convince us why. Convince these other people why. What made you follow Trump, right? What made you think when he comes out and says meatball this or, you know, that or the other, what in your mind, how does that resonate as a positive message? How is that okay? And if they can translate that to, you know, some of the other Republicans and walk them off the cliff, that's where Donald Trump succeeds. And the same thing goes on the DeSantis side of the aisle. You know, again, they're saying that he can win the general. But the reality of it is that they know in their heart of hearts that, you know, I'll just say they're either just out in left field and they don't have a political brain cell, you know, and they're just naive, or they're doing it on purpose. And both of those things are terrible, right?
Yeah.
We want the Republicans need to win every time. It doesn't matter. People will say we can't elect rhinos. I get it. We shouldn't elect rhinos, but that's what the primary's for, right? But when we get in the general, the worst Republican is better than the best Democrat. And 100%. I don't care how rhino they are. They're better than a Democrat.
So it's funny you say that, because I want to talk about the influence as well and my feelings on them. So you just said, listen, the worst Republican is better than the best Democrat. And this now I am not a Dr. Oz fan at all. At all. I don't like him. I think he's a rhino. Okay. I did not want him to win the primary, but he did in Pennsylvania. And we ended up with an uncooked turkey with two legs anyway, who I think is probably dead, and they're going to bring a body double in. But anyway, we can jump down that rabbit hole. So Jack Posobiec, still to this day, has me blocked on Twitter because Jack Posobiec decided to go on this tirade about Dr. Oz and his Jersey mansion after he won the primary. And this was my problem. I'm like, Jack, I put a tweet out that it was getting traction. He obviously didn't like it. Maybe there was a word in there I shouldn't have used. And he blocked me. And it was, what are you doing, Jack, with your few million followers that religiously follow you and use your MyPillow code? Why are you trashing Dr. Oz? Are you trying to get this retarded Shrek elected, John Fetterman? Like, what are you doing? The primary's over. It's time to stack chips, brother.
Yeah.
Blocked.
I don't think in Jack's defense, and not that he needs defending, but sure, you know, I think we learned a lot from that cycle, right? We learned that when we have our politicians lying to us and we have all these things going on, we have this commitment of a red wave, which we would have had had the, you know, the string pullers and the purse keepers at, you know, in the top echelon of the Republican Party, if they would have actually, you know, been wise with how they spent donor money, Oz would have won. Blake Masters would have won. Yes. J.R. Majewski would have won. Harry Lake may have had a better chance to defend herself against all the illegal things that were done to her, right?
Adam Laxalt,
all the folks, right? And you know, I think Jack is the wiser this cycle, and I don't think he would do that. But there are still some folks out there, and you know, there's this group of, you know, I mean, you see it, right? You see these new Twitter accounts popping up, and you know, all of a sudden they've gained a couple hundred thousand followers in a span of a week or two, and they choose sides, and then they act, you know, very voraciously in spreading a certain message. And you know, what I see is the grass is always greener on the other side, and when they don't get accepted to the cool kids club, or the, you know, they don't get in with Trump in the timeline that they like.
Right.
They like to turn. And I can tell you, as a guy that, you know, didn't get to meet Trump after giving him.
Do we freeze up?
Yeah, I got a thunderstorm.
Is coming. That thunder in the background?
Yeah.
That's yeah, what I thought it was.
I'm right on Lake Erie, so we're getting it pretty bad. But
you're good.
I know what it's like to, you know, be out there fighting for the guy and you're not really getting attention from the team. I personally, you know, when I ran for office, a lot of people were like, why isn't Trump endorsing you right out of the gate? There was a lot of that, you know.
It was.
And you know, I find myself wondering what the heck's going on, but I never got resentful. I never got spiteful. I never thought, hey, I deserve this. I just thought I'm doing what I need to do as a guy who cares for the country. Right. And that paid off for me in the end. But these other folks that are putting their own, you know, self-interest before the obvious goal,
yes,
is where we're seeing some suffrage. And I say this, if you want to be famous riding on the coattails of another man, you should probably, you know, check your perspective, because it's not a healthy way to live life.
It's not. And unfortunately, in this, you know, atmosphere, that thunder is great. I love it. That is great. I see. So Roan from Steak for Breakfast had coined the phrase, the Florida influencer industrial complex, with all of these Twitter accounts. And I'm going to tell you what really annoys me, and I'm not giving any of them notoriety, is these people that were Team Trump in 2016 and 2020 that built, JR, their tremendous following of 500,000 or 1 million followers on the back of Donald Trump. And all they did was grift. And what did they do? They're all turning their back, and they're, I mean, ferociously going after Donald Trump. They all went to the DeSantis influencer retreat because his camp got them all together, whether they offered them money or to pay to get them large followings, one or the other. I mean, I swear some of these people must get paid by the tweet. You get hundreds of tweets a day, all of the same nonsense about, well, Trump is the vaccine god now. These are the same people, again, that have literally grifted off of Donald Trump's name. Now they all have cringy shows, and, you know, whether they were a former attorney of Donald Trump, and now she doesn't know what side she wants to be on, and says all these whack job things. It's just, that's what pisses me off. I'm big with the loyalty. And literally, I believe it's about money. It's about clicks and views, how many T-shirts and merch items these idiots can sell, who's giving them a sponsorship as far as a small business or whatever it is. And that's all it's becoming. And yes, there are people on the Trump side who do things that annoy me. I'm not a big fan of Turning Point USA, just never was. Not a fan of CPAC and the people from there and, you know, whatnot. but it's like the whole Republican conservative MAGA movement is fractured in so many different ways, because you have all of these influencers that are projecting this messaging, but none of it's united. And most of it is for how many retweets can I get, and how many people can I get to use this promo code or buy this shirt that says, you know, Joe Biden is an idiot. That's the problem, I think, with the conservative MAGA movement, is that there are so many clicks. And Once we all get our acts together and with some real strategy and tactics, it's going to be tough going against these morons on the left if we're just going to keep fighting with each other. And it's a shame that we do this.
No, I agree. I was highly critical of the influencer movement back in 16, and as it grew up in through 20, I mean, you never saw me, you know, making a t-shirt or doing any of the other things that I could have done, right? Sure. I could have really cashed in on the whole lawn thing, but I didn't, right? And I've been highly critical of those folks. And, you know, I see what you're saying too. I mean, but the other thing that I see is, again, there's these, like you're saying, there's these clicks, but, you know, in my opinion, that whole world should operate like a saloon door, right? If you want to come in and get on the team, the door's open, right? Yeah. Let's do this, right? But that's not how it functions. And so both of those clicks are wrong, because what they're failing to do is to really put out the message of whatever candidate that they're following. And some of them are doing it because, you know, they're resenting the fact that they weren't invited into the bar or through the saloon door. Sure. And then the others are safeguarding the fact that they're in, right? And they're both not really keeping perspective on, you know, what the end goal is. And you see folks attacking, you know, longtime Trump allies and, you know, for whatever reason. But then on the other side of the coin, you have people, like you said, going after Trump because of the vaccination and what they're, you know, but really, what does it boil down to? Yeah. And do I think Trump should have pushed the vaccination? No, but yeah. I also don't need the president telling me what or what not to do with my damn life.
Right. Exactly.
And the fact that he took the vaccination in front of the country, and he was willing to, you know, put himself, you know, out there. I'm more satisfied with the fact that he truly stood behind something. Where I think that, you know, we could criticize Trump is by leading with his heart and believing right. that he could change people. I have that same leadership flaw, so I know what it's like to believe that, you know, lower functioning folks that, you know that they're capable, they're just not performing, thinking that you can drive them to higher performance, when in reality they really don't want to. And those people drag down the ship, and if you don't cut them loose, they turn on you. And the more you try to supplement their underperformance, the more they see that as weakness. And then when you finally come to the time where you have to cut ties with them, yeah. that's when they turn on you, because they don't understand why all of a sudden, you know, you're giving them the harsh punishment or harsh treatment that life just gives. And so that's the only criticism that I would have for Trump. But I think he's a smart enough man to know that, and he really doesn't need J.R. Majewski telling him it. And we see that through, you know, some of the shifts that he's made in his staff. And I think he's got a great team around him. I think DeSantis, you know, I think we're fortunate as a party to have, you know, a stable of good Republican leaders with some depth, right? Who does the Democratic Party? I mean, they're talking about running Michelle Obama. They're so, you know, weak. So, you know, I think we're fortunate, and I think that's what we should be reflecting on. And if DeSantis wants to run for office, let him run. That's his choice. That's what the primaries are for.
Absolutely. Right?
But getting into vicious arguments and debates, you know, amongst the same team, we do that at the ballot box. Because we know the opponents that we're facing, right? We know how evil the Democratic Party is with messaging and propaganda. you know, fighting out in public is something that they weaponize. And it's only because of that, in what we're doing right now, is socially wrong, because it's just allowing them to, you know, further divide us by calling one side cult members, the other side de-simps, and, you know, this, that, and the other. I mean, they are creating all of that. And we're just, you know, we're turning into the we are, in some form and fashion, some of us are acting like Democrats. And they've normalized that, and we've accepted it where we should have fought back.
No, agreed. And I, you know, listen, sometimes I'm guilty of it. I get wrapped up in little Twitter wars and things like that. But I think when I do it, I'm more so like defending Donald Trump and what he stands for when people are outright lying about what they're saying about him. And that's what annoys me is the lies. Like, if you're going to come correct, come with something. All right. Yeah. I get it. Fine. It's politics, but be truthful about it, you know, and that's the problem. But,
and just because that's the other part of it too. And that's where I think the Trump side has some flaws, right? I'm going to support Trump. I'm loyal. There's not a person out there that can say that I'm not loyal. I mean, you cannot say that about me. And if Trump does something wrong, I'm going to criticize him for it, right? Yeah. But that doesn't mean that he's lost my support, right? And that's where we have like this kind of environment where, you know, on the America First side or the MAGA side, right? Folks are scared to, you know, to say anything if they do see an issue, because they think they're going to get attacked by the people that, you know, they see as brethren, right?
Yeah.
And so we're creating this, you know, we're in fact reversing, you know, becoming the loud majority from the silent. And I think we're going to see that, you know, depending on how this indictment thing goes. You know, yeah. I think we're closeting off certain Republicans that could probably offer a unique perspective that could add to some of the discourse that we truly need.
Absolutely. I will say this, you know, the indictment, which, you know, Tuesday is supposedly the day that he's going to be arraigned and show up in New York. I think there's a big rally that I think that's getting put together by the New York Young Republican Clubs. I'm waiting for information on that. I believe Marjorie Taylor Greene is making a trip to New York. Well, I'm happy to see that some key Republicans are speaking out. Some I expected, some I was surprised. I want to see more of our Republican elected officials coming out in support of Donald Trump. And I'd really like to see Republican attorney generals around the country with their 2 cents in support of Donald Trump. But you know how that goes with the way the wind blows in politics and the Republican Party and the country club Republicans, as opposed to the, you know, the beer swilling Republicans, I guess maybe we can call ourselves smoking steak eating Republicans.
Yeah.
It's going to be wild. And listen, we all know how Donald Trump is. He is going to use this indictment, I believe, to his advantage. If I were him, I would 100% demand that the mugshot be made it public, and I would be signing copies of it if I were him, and making coffee mugs and T-shirts. You know, literally the guy in the last 24 hours raised almost $5 million in the last 24 hours, and 25% of that was grassroots first-time donors. So he's gaining support. He's still double digits in the polls, however you want to perceive that. And again, if I was Donald Trump, I'd insist on the handcuffs too. Put me in handcuffs and perp walk me, because what the Democrats are doing, Alvin Bragg, and they are propelling him, in my opinion, into past the primary, past the general, and back into the Oval Office. And I truly believe, JR, that's what this country needs. And I think, I have a lot of liberals in my family, and I had two of them tell me yesterday, I can't believe they're doing this to Donald Trump. I'm talking about vegan liberals that despise Donald Trump and barely talk to me because of what I do politically, close family members. And they're like, Alan, I cannot believe what they're doing to Donald Trump. This is making me think twice about a lot of things. And a lot of other people I talk to have, whether it's independents, moderate Democrats, or even some full-on liberals, they got their attention is there. Like, what is going on? why is this happening? Yeah, it's wild.
And I think that's, you know, the perspective that we have to have as Republicans, right? As we continue through this cycle, Trump is that guy that, you know, he has the charisma, you know, he has the intelligence to, you know, attract, and he has the messaging, right? And I think that he has the core value and belief set to attract people who would see themselves as, you know, as moderate or reasonable Democrats or especially independents and libertarians, right? And I think more and more we're seeing younger folks are taking the libertarian moniker, right? Because at the end of the day, you know, the most people just want government to stay out of their lives, right? Mm-hmm. Defend us, do what the Constitution says, and then leave us alone. And I don't think, you know, political affiliation really, you know, it can undermine that, because, you know, fundamentally, as a human being, you don't want anybody telling you what to do. That's just fundamental, right? And I think that's the attractive part of it, right? And Trump really, you know, he represents that, right? He represents, leave me alone, right? I just want to do my thing. You know, I'm a good person. I'll donate money. I'll go on the Oprah Winfrey Show, Maury Povich, and pay for someone's cancer treatment. I'll do those things. I don't need the government telling me to do it. I'll go do it on my own goodwill. And, you know, by the way, still be a successful businessman, and then still do this, that, and the other, right? Still, you know, save the ice rink in New York. I mean, you know, all the things that he did, right?
Yeah.
Nobody made him do that, you know? But I think that's what he represents, and I think that's why people like him. So as we continue this cycle here of embattlement within, you know, people that are already either supporting him or on the fence, we have to be mindful that there are people that are going to come into this tent, and we don't want to scare them out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because he's going to need their votes in many respects. Yeah.
We need more people. And that's why I have to give credit to the New York Young Republican Club that works hard every day and trying to recruit people to show that, hey, you know, conservatism is cool. Conservatism isn't for just a bunch of old men. And I'm proud to be a member of that club and support them in any way possible. And the events that they have to draw in that, you know, 25 to 35 year old age demographic to, you know, there's a lot going on this side, and you should really get involved, because we want to save America. You know,
I love Gavin, and the New York Young Republicans are awesome. A really good buddy of mine that lives actually over by you. You know, he teases me all the time. He's like, you know, politically, JR, you were born in the wrong place. And I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, you should have been born in New York. You could run in any district in New York and you'd win by 30 points. And I'm like, really? He goes, I mean, because, you know, I mean, Republicans in New York are unique. You know,
they are.
And I obviously behave like you guys. So I'm not, you know, it's not disparaging. It's just, you know, you have the resilience to say what needs to be said. And that's what Trump is, you know, he's a New Yorker, right? So if it needs to be said, he says it. If he's wrong and, you know, you're constructive with your criticism, he'll admit to it. But if you want to make it a fight, he's going to die with his word.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's how a lot of New Yorkers are. I mean, that's how I am, you know, right or wrong. I'm going to die on this hill. I'm going to go down in flames fighting.
I'm walked all the way up here. I might as well, you know.
I'm never going to admit I'm wrong. You're wrong. Yeah, fuck you. No. Before we wrap, I just, you know, what's in store for you? I don't think J.R. Majewski's done by any means. You got some ideas brewing, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, we're looking across the state right now. There's a lot of stuff going on in Ohio. We have a state legislature, Republican Party, that's torn. The Republicans are fighting. We own the House, we own the Senate, and we own the court here. And, you know, we've lost the ability to pass certain pieces of legislation that was committed to, you know, the constituency statewide. because egos and other things have come into play. And I think it's just it's terrible for the party. Our state chairman resigned. We have a new state chairman. He's coming along and getting used to the seat, I'm sure. And then we have, a redistricting process that could or could not happen. The last cycle, the maps were approved, I believe, for 4 years. So the Republican Party has the choice to push it through and, try to get the maps updated now while they have power. But if they continue to be dysfunctional, we might see the map stay the same for another 2 years. And with that said, you got a big Senate race coming up. And, I think that, I've been vindicated. If you guys have been watching, you can see that yep. Air Force is updating my records. It's plain as day, that the Democratic apparatus and the establishment, couldn't beat me on messaging, couldn't beat me on resonating with the people that live here. So they had to assassinate my character. And, so I think there's, although I feel vindicated, I'm not the kind of guy that's just going to walk away and say, hey, I did my best if I truly didn't. And I did my best, but, I'm an accountable man. I like not necessarily revenge, but I like to be told that I can't, only to prove people wrong and absolutely. Say that I can, especially if it's for, just reasons. So there are a lot of Republicans here in my district that saw what happened to me. And they also saw how I was very successful, and they're going to try to, take my blueprint and run against me, I'm sure, if I decide to run again.
Yeah.
But, that said, I did better than any other Republican in history against this Democratic swamp creature. And, there's not a man, woman, or man child in this district that's going to take the nomination away from me if I decide to pursue it again, because nobody's going to outwork me, and nobody has the fortitude that I have to be able to get the shit beat out of you and stand up on your own two feet and ask for more.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, that's why I was running. And so as much as it hurt, as much as all the stuff, it was terrible to go through, I'd do it all again tomorrow.
Yeah. And I hope you do. I hope you run. I do. I'll be supporting you all the way from New York, but we needed you now. We needed you then. We need you now. We need you somewhere in government, whether it is the House, whether it is the Senate, because I know what you're going to bring. I'm sure people that follow you and support you know what you're
the Democrats surely know what I'm going to bring. That's why they don't want me.
That's why they spent millions of dollars. It goes back to my statement. And I say this, I've been saying this for years, is again, the Democrats, they can't win on policy. So they have to go after and try to destroy their political opponents. Look what they're doing to Donald Trump. Look what they did to you and so many other great Republicans out there, that great policies, great resumes. I don't even care about resumes. I care about what they're going to do when they get there and what they're running on. And what do these Democrats do? Just go after them with just complete and utter bullshit and lies.
Yeah. And that kind of takes me somewhere that I was considering to talk about earlier, but it kind of slipped my mind, is like, there's this underlying tone in this narrative, right? Candidate quality. We heard a lot about it right after the election. And if you were to Google J.R. Majewski and you find a Karl Rove will say J.R. was a terrible candidate. And, that just goes to show you how much these idiots pay attention, right? If you were to put my resume up against any other initial candidate, first-time candidate across the country, it doesn't matter if they are running for the House or the Senate. I guarantee I either compete directly or exceed them. And candidate quality is a narrative that was established by moderate Republicans and Democrats in an effort to say that Donald Trump has lost his touch and he picked a bunch of losers. Right. Or if you're a MAGA person, you're an idiot and nothing else matters, right? And we have Republicans lazily prescribing to this narrative because they're a bunch of dipshits that have no place in the political spectrum, right? And they're out there causing this divide by this anti-intellectual bullshit that they're spreading, you know, to get clicks and get likes, right? It's all a bunch of crap, right? And that is another factor in why the Republican Party has seen this demise, is because, you know, we're beating the hell out of each other and we're not being honest.
Yeah.
And if we want to be honest, energy independence is our number one fundamental issue, right? You can't vote if you can't turn the lights on. You can't eat if you can't cook. You know, right. You can't cook if you don't have power. You can't defend the nation if you can't support the power grid, right? And there wasn't another candidate in this country sitting in Washington, D.C., that knows more about energy than I do. And that in itself takes me out of that whole little Canada quality box. But boy, does it piss me off when people say that, because it's lazy, it's weak, and it's disparaging to people that are brave enough to run for office.
Absolutely. And we, you know, with all the things that are going on with this country and the way the world perceives us right now is a big joke.
Yeah.
It's not funny anymore. It's not when Joe Biden got into office for, you know, a year, it was funny to say, oh, we're a laughing stock of the world. It's not funny anymore. It's concerning, because there's major shit going on that's going to affect all of us, and people who still have blinders on and aren't dialed in politically. Not saying you have to be glued to the news every single day, but know what the fuck's going on around you, especially if you're a small business owner and a homeowner and have a family. I have friends that own small businesses, JR. They don't even vote. Like, you're talking about voting for lawmakers that make policy that directly affect your business. What is wrong with you?
Right. Or what's going on with you know, in these school systems with these children and these teachers, right? We are on the brink of, you know, we're one major you know, national incident away from seeing either the left or the right, you know, get crazy.
Yeah. And
that's not what we want, right? Well, that's not what we want on either side. At some point we need to stop this, you know, this grandstanding form of politics where, you know, it's cool to own the other side or to troll or whatever. You know, I want someone that could, you know, I know that, you know, I will, if I was in DC, if the climate was correct, I know that, you know, given the way Republican generally speaking, think right now, you know, I'd piss people off, because I'm not scared to sit down with AOC or someone else and have a conversation, right? I'm not going to be taken advantage of, right? But I'm not, you know, I'm not an isolationist when it comes to that. We have to, there has to be a balance. The problem is the left doesn't perceive that the right will ever give them a sane level of balance. And the right believes that the left is way too crazy. And, you know, they're going to do everything that they can to destroy the opportunity to even have that discussion for balance. And we need a group of leaders that know how, you know, to put certain things aside and get at the table and talk about how we can do what's best for the country, not do what's best for, you know, my next campaign fundraiser.
Right. Yeah. They need to come together in some aspects and realize that they're there to serve their constituents and we the people, and not troll each other back and forth with signs on doors and everything else. I get it. It needs to be done sometimes, whatever, but
as long as they can find a mechanism in which they can be productive, right? Because right now productivity only comes when parties have, you know, full linear control of Congress and the executive branch, right? And unfortunately, the last opportunity that the Republican Party had, when we had that control, we, you know, totally screwed the pooch. We didn't do anything.
Nothing.
So,
right.
we're still bitter, some of us at least, on that. So, you know, I think we're going to get there. I think it all starts with righting the wrongs of what happened in 2020 and getting Trump back in office and letting him finish what he started. And I think we need to be forward looking on the presidency and other things as a party, because, you know, as great as Trump is, he only has 4 more years, right? So, you know, we have to be looking at passing that baton, and, you know, we have to really stretch through our pedigree and make sure that we have the right leaders. And I think we do. I mean, man, I've learned so much about certain members of Congress that, you know, over the time that I've ran and just getting to know people. Yeah, we have some great men and women in Washington, D.C. that don't always get a fair shake. But I think with the, you know, with the right opportunities and the right environment where we're all, you know, genuinely wanting to work together rather than, you know, own each other, I think we would see some productivity that we just probably don't think we're capable of right now.
I agree with all of it. And I think we're going to see some interesting moves and players come out of the woodwork and, you know, in the next few years, and hopefully we'll be able to save this country. So it's,
I think we will.
I think so too.
Got to have hope, man. If you don't have hope, you know, what else is there, right?
100%. And, you know, we might need a little blood, sweat, and tears. Hopefully not a lot of blood, but there might be some. No.
It's true. Hard work.
JR, I appreciate you jumping on with me at the last minute today when I asked you this morning. But no problem. Where can everybody find you to follow you? Or the best place to follow you?
I would say, you know, Facebook, Twitter. I'm on Getter. I'm on True Social. I'm pretty much everywhere. If you just type in JR Majewski, you'll find me. Don't have a political website up or anything like that right now, but I'm pretty, you know, and I'll just be honest with you and the audience. I am very, very, it's very, very likely that I'll be announcing, you know, something over the next few weeks. And once that happens, you know, we'll get all the websites up and we'll throw out the bells and whistles, and you guys can jump in and, you know, throw me a buck or two, try to, you know, get me through the election.
I definitely will. I can't wait. I know it's going to happen. I know. I can't wait. Now, there's a lot of people out there waiting to see what you're going to do, and that's a good thing. So, JR Majewski, he's making a comeback, people. We're getting him in Congress. It's going to happen. One way or another, Congress, Senate, it's going to happen. So, watch out for him, and make sure you're getting all the episodes over on the Rumble channel. Follow me there. Go to 1776live.tv. It'll take you right to the Rumble channel. Hit the follow button, and I'll be back next week. JR, I know you're hitting Steak for Breakfast on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Steak for Breakfast podcast, another great show. I was on their show today. Been on their show a lot lately. And, thanks for tuning in. All right, everybody. We'll see you next week. Have a good weekend. Take care.